Salazar, 2021, Book 1, by Charis K. Walker. "Looky here, looky here! What do we have, Steve?" one called to the other, drawing Salazar and Mickey's attention. Not wanting to be followed inside, they both turned to face the men. "Yep, Jeff, must be something valuable, seeing as how they are sneaking along in the dark," Steve rejoined. He cackled while his hands twitched nervously at his sides and his eyes ravenously raked Mickey's body. Acting as if he was in feral heat, Steve licked his lips. "I'll take her, Jeff. You can have the kid," he announced, and then wildly cackled again. "Stand back," Salazar warned. "Don't pay any attention to Steve. He's not himself right now. Come to think of it, no one is acting like himself. On the other hand, I'm trying real hard to be nice. Just give up the bag, son, then we'll let you be," Jeff declared, trying to sound sincere. "I'm not your son, and it's nothing of value," Salazar replied. "Just move along, and I won't hurt you." With his voice, calm and confident, it gave both men pause at first, and then their greed got the better of them. "Ha ha, young man, now that is funny. Give us the bags and we won't hurt you." Jeff repeated Salazar's words and nervously laughed. Jeff considered that the kid seemed far more mature than he looked, and that worried him a little. "Why would you think you're a match for two grown men? You're just a boy." "Yep, just a boy," Steve agreed. "Just like you like 'em." Then, showing his cowardliness and thinking she was petite and frail, Steve attacked Mickey first. He tried to wrestle her bag away from her and was surprised that he got more response from Mickey than he had bargained. Mickey was indeed Serena McKay's daughter. She surprised Steve when she used a forceful uppercut that squarely landed on his chin. The blow hurt, and Steve stopped to rub his jaw and then shook his head a few times as if trying to shake it off. When he looked at Mickey again, his lips curled into a wicked sneer. "I see you like it rough, missy. I'll give it to you as rough as you want it." His hysterical chortle ended abruptly when Mickey forcefully slammed him squarely in the nose with the heel of her flat palm. Blood spurted across both of them. Mickey knew that a broken nose was normally the best way to halt an assault. Most people didn't want to fight anymore after such a blow shattered the nasal septum and septal cartilage, especially when the excruciating pain hit the olfactory nerves. Steve was no exception. Suddenly, he felt as if ice picks piercingly stabbed his sinus passages. He immediately stopped his attack to glare at Mickey in shock. "You broke my damn nose," he blubbered, as bright blood gushed down his lips and chin, making it sound as if he had said, "You bloke my plum nose!" "Yep, I certainly did, but that is on you. You should have left us alone," Mickey replied. Meanwhile, Salazar had been taught to eliminate threats as quickly as possible. In his mind, he heard Tom Lang's instructions replay. Never mess around. Do it with force and get the job done. With that as his main objective, Salazar executed two powerful and quick jabs to Jeff's solar plexus, the soft hollow spot between his ribs. He felt and heard Jeff's ribs crack when his blows connected, making it very difficult for the assailant to breathe or move. Jeff immediately bent double, wheezing and in terrible pain. Too late, he realized that he had picked the wrong family to attack. A look of shock washed over his face as he gasped for air that did not want to fill his lungs. The well-placed blows ended his desire for anything more. He grunted and motioned for Steve's help. In a daze and hurt, Jeff didn't have the strength or wind to call out to Steve. He didn't have the energy to run away without his partner's assistance. Still holding on to the straps of Mickey's bag, Steve saw that Jeff was in trouble and couldn't stand up straight. He shoved Mickey to the ground. However, determined that they wouldn't leave without something to show for their troubles, he held on to the tote straps. Again, he got more than he bargained for. Mickey tenaciously held on to her bag while she dug her heels into the cracks of the sidewalk to counteract his wrenching. Even though Steve pulled with all his might, he could not tear it from her grasp. Mickey wore a circular brooch that had been passed down from Marta Stevens to Serena and then to her. It was a beautiful ornament that used a 5-inch sweater pin to attach it. Marta Stevens had taught Serena how to become a savvy computer hacker and to protect herself from the prying eyes of the government. More importantly, she had taught Serena how to live in a normal and loving family. Now, Mickey pulled the brooch from her lapel and jabbed its sharp end into the meaty flesh of Steve's hand. He jerked his hand back and let go of the straps, but not before Mickey jabbed the pin into his foot, too. Growling in defeat, he turned to help Jeff get away. Together, the two men limped across the street and back into the ruins of a collapsed building. After their attackers had disappeared from sight, Salazar gently helped Mickey to her feet. When he saw the blood spatters on her face, he asked, "Are you hurt, Mother?" "Just my shoulder," she admitted as she tried to pull her torn blouse together. "It's only minor." Salazar looked worried as he ran a finger through a dab of blood on her cheek and then showed it to her. "The blood?" Mickey snorted. "It's his, not mine." "I should have known," he admitted. "Your shoulder might be dislocated. If you had let him take your bag, maybe you wouldn't be injured." "Fat chance of that," Mickey scoffed. "I didn't fight to let him win." She used the brooch to repin her clothing and noticed that her own blood oozed from a scrape on her hand. She had skinned her palm against the broken bricks when Steve shoved her. "Are you sure you're not hurt?" Salazar asked again. "Really, I'm fine. Let's just get off these streets before someone else decides what we carry in our bags is valuable." "I agree. It's not far now. Just a few more steps," Salazar urged, and he led the way. It was now 6:20.